The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch continues on ESPN Wisconsin. No Jason Wilde today, as he may or may not be hosting a garage sale on Facebook Marketplace. So I am stepping in as the host of the show today. Hunter Vaughn, our producer here in the Everlight Solar Studios at ESPN Madison. 844-770-3776 is your way into the show. We have word from the Wilde garage sale. The wiffle balls are getting a lot of traction on social media.
That's a good deal, it sounds like.
Great deal.
Sounds like a big deal.
100 wiffle balls available, wiffle golf balls, we should say, available for you to purchase from the Wilde residents. Get the deals right now. They are hot, hot savings at the Wilde Family Garage as we continue throughout the 4th of July weekend up in Green Bay. Meanwhile, over here on ESPN Wisconsin, where we talk sports, we are now joined by Tausch's former teammate, Wisconsin Badgers alum. And I'm not sure there's a coach in America who has coached at his last three schools with nicknames as cool as Jason Eck has. From the Jackrabbits to the Vandals, and now the head coach of the New Mexico Lobos, Jason Eck joins us on Wilde and Tausch. Coach, thanks so much for taking some time and joining us this morning heading into the 4th of July weekend, and congrats on the new gig at New Mexico.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on. And the Lobos are one of a kind.
There is no doubt. So, Jason, you went big with Vandal. V's up, right? And I know you're not on video, but V's up. What are we doing now with the Lobos? What's going to be the catch? Because what's the catchphrase or the whatever you're doing insignia-wise for the Lobos?
We got our own little hand signal, Lobos up. You want to put your two middle fingers kind of next to your thumb. That's kind of like the little, okay, like the snout of the Lobo. Lobo like is a wolf in Spanish. And then you have your outside, okay, fingers up. So that's the little Lobo sign. So that's Lobos up right there.
All right.
I like
so
that.
So for those that don't know, well, we just did that. I think we flipped some people off as we did it.
Oh, you might have.
Coach Eck and I walked on together in 1995. Just a couple of, you know, we didn't know what the heck was going on. And we grew up and we played college football. What was it? It's 97 is when I used to whoop you in, not Madden, in EA college football. And now it's back on. How close is the game if I'm playing you right now in college football? You're the Lobos, I'm the Badgers, and we revisit this in 2025.
We probably can play because now they got all these online games and stuff. We could get a game in there. Yeah. I think I beat you now. Yeah. You know, yeah, I don't know if you're as sharp in your schemes as you once were.
I am not. That is very fair. All right, so can you kind of go through your process here of how you ended up in this spot? Because you played, you GA'd, and for everybody that thinks being a coach is a glamorous deal, and this is, can you kind of go through your process of how you got to become the head coach at New Mexico?
Yeah, it was a long road. You know, I spent 23 years as an assistant. You know, five of those years were as a graduate assistant. You know, starting at Wisconsin, and then bounced around. Moved a lot, and then. Probably the best move I made then was getting to South Dakota State, and we had a lot of success at South Dakota State with the Jackrabbits. Coached a few guys like Tucker Graff, now playing for the Packers, and we had a really good run there over 6 years. Became the offensive coordinator there and got to call plays in the national championship game there, and then I got the opportunity to go to Idaho, which hadn't had a lot of success. You know, they had only had two winning seasons in the previous 22 years when I got hired there, and then we were able to have three straight winning seasons, three straight playoff appearances, and then, that got me this opportunity here where New Mexico, we got to rebuild a little bit. They haven't been to a bowl game since 2016. I haven't had a winning season since 2016, so we got to rebuild it, but I think it's a great opportunity. I learned that from Coach Alvarez. He was always looking for sleeping giants, places you could wake up, and I think that's something we can do here as well.
And so before we get into Coach Alvarez, and I got to get your favorite, Brad Childress is a staple on our show, your favorite Chiliism. You mentioned Tucker Kraft. I'm assuming you're not surprised that he is emerging as one of the best tight ends in the league. I know Packer fans are very excited about his future. What did you see in him at South Dakota State that made you believe that he could have the success he's having in the NFL?
Well, we have had Dallas Goedert earlier at South Dakota State. So I thought that gave us a really good opportunity to kind of know what an NFL tight end looked like after he got drafted high. And then, Tucker was probably just more explosive and more physical, than Dallas. So, I thought definitely just physically he was a, NFL prospect and, ran well. And, it took Tucker, probably a year to really kind of get the system down before his second year when he really made an impact. So I kind of saw that in the NFL too, where he really made a big jump his second season from his first season. But he's a guy who loves football, who loves to compete. Just kind of the personality you like to be around, has always great energy at practice. His teammates love them, and, awesome to see how well he's doing now at the NFL level.
All right, you mentioned Barry Alvarez, and he obviously had a huge impact on you. What are, I guess, a couple of the things you have taken from him as you've went on your coaching journey?
Yeah, I think Coach Alvarez and then Coach Stiglmeyer, who I worked for at South Dakota State, probably were the two most influential head coaches I worked for, kind of in forming my philosophy. And, I kind of had a crazy journey in my 23 years as an assistant. I worked for 12 different head coaches. So I saw a lot of different ways of doing things. But I think Coach Alvarez had a great knack for building confidence in his team. I think he did a really good job of just being honest with the team, telling us, what to expect in situations so we were never surprised. And, I think he was, also kind of a classic, CEO head coach. I think he trusted his assistants, would delegate, give those guys responsibility and help them grow. But I think we always felt confident going into games, even if maybe we weren't as talented or we were the underdog. And, that's something I've definitely tried to, take as I become a head coach.
So one of my favorite stories about Jason played center at the University of Wisconsin, and there was a game, and I don't remember which, if it happened in practice, but this tells you what you need to know about Jason Eck. It's one of my favorite stories. He's snapping. He's a right-handed guy. He snaps his thumb, and I think for most centers, you snap your snapping thumb. You're a backup at that point. You're not going to probably travel. We had a big game, and I believe it was against Michigan. So what did Jason Eck decide to do in order to stay on the traveling roster and to stay playing? Jason, can you take us through, again, I don't remember if it was Michigan, I think it was. Can you go through and kind of talk about the mindset of what you went through to do that?
Yeah, I taught myself to snap with my left hand. I don't want to miss those trips. And we were having a great year, ended up going to the Rose Bowl. And, if you remember, there's always like, especially for the bowl game, they had the first trip and the second trip. And if you were hurt and you couldn't practice, you'd go on the second trip. And, after spending a lot of time in Madison during the winter, if you get to L.A. a few more days, you want to do that. So, was able to snap the ball with my left hand and find a way. And still probably had a few errant snaps along the way, but enough to get me on those trips and keep going.
Head coach Jason Eck of the New Mexico Lobos joining us here on Wilde and Tausch. Jesse and Tausch today. Jason's got a garage sale going on, so coach, sorry he couldn't make time to be on the show with you here this afternoon. But I do want to go back. That's a serious thing. I want to go back to what you said about taking over at New Mexico because, the life of a coach is an intriguing one to me with all of the different places that you move to and travel to and new communities that you try to embed yourself in. What's the first step that you take when you're not only trying to, kind of refine a program the way you're going to at New Mexico and like you did at Idaho before, but what's the first step for you to embed yourself and become one with the new communities that you're moving to? Because we've seen that here in Wisconsin with Luke Fickell and others that have come through. What are the first approaches and steps that you take, and what's been so successful for you so far in your career?
Well, I think you have to embrace just everything about, your opportunity. This was a new opportunity for us being in the Southwest as part of the country hadn't been in, and I think you have to embrace the people. You got to embrace the fan base, get them excited, whether they're, former players, alumni, boosters, your current roster, build good, great relationships with them. I think you have to, make sure people feel that you're excited to be there and excited, for this opportunity, and you're going to embrace them and do that. And, people ask me a lot, where, You've coached a lot of places. What's been your favorite place? And I just, where I'm at is my favorite place. You got to embrace where you're at and enjoy the people and be all in and have your feet, be right where your feet are with what you're doing. And, I think there's a great opportunity here. I kind of really enjoyed that fact at Idaho where we were able to turn around a program that had not been winning. And, Tausch knows that. I think he's the same way. It's always fun to, do things that people don't think you can do and prove people wrong. So that's our opportunity here in front of us. And New Mexico, has some great history. We've had great players like Urlacher, over the years, and they had runs where they were very successful, but just haven't really kept up with some of the transformations. Some of the teams that they used to be in the league with have now moved on to other leagues. But I think that gives us an opportunity to do better than we've done here in a long time.
And that leads right into the next question that I had for you. I don't know who's in your conference anymore. The Mountain West, it's crazy how things are evolving all the time in college football now. So you take over New Mexico, and obviously there's all this change going on out west with who's in what conference now, and things seem to be changing every year or two. Amid all that chaos, what's your approach to trying to, set goals for a team, dominating a league or rising to the top of a league? Or do you have your eyes set on, do you want to get to the point where you're considered by other leagues? What do you think of now in college football, which weren't questions, 10, 15 years ago?
Yeah, we're going to have stability in our league for this year, but then it's going to change a lot in 26. So, this is an exciting opportunity for our players. This is the last time we'll get to play, Boise State, as a member of our league. And, really for this year, I've set the goal and that I think is attainable of getting to a bowl game. Trying to get, 6, 7, 8 wins that way. And then, we'll lose 5 teams. We have 5 teams leaving our league then after this season to join that pack. I think it's the Pac-8 right now with how many teams they have. And then we'll have 2 new teams move in. UTEP and Northern Illinois are moving in 2026. And I'm hoping that opens up an opportunity where we can be a perennial, contender for the conference championship. And really at the group of 5 or I guess group of 6 level now starting in 26, you got to have a great year. You got to try to go 12-1 or 13-0 for, having your chance to get that one CFP invite and, have a chance to be at the big boy table.
Jason, when you look at how college football and where it's going, do you think there is going to be some stability with this settlement and with all the stuff that's going on? Because you guys, and especially when you're at South Dakota State, it almost started looking as if it was not, I'm not going to say a minor league system, but a let's develop and then the big programs come and kind of poach your guys. What do you envision college football looking like once this settlement does kind of take hold?
Yeah, it definitely is, a different avenue. And, we're probably lucky we had those guys like Dallas Goedert and, Tucker Kraft, back then, not now in 2025, because I think it would have been really, really hard to hold on to those guys under the current system. I think things are, you have to embrace change, in life. And, you probably never would have thought 10 years ago that you would think that is a positive that you've had a lot of players transfer from your program. But I do think if you look like the last 2 years at Idaho, we had 25 players who transferred, up to the FBS level. And, a lot of them were Power 5, a receiver at TCU, an O-lineman at Illinois, a linebacker at Stanford, a linebacker at Washington. We brought 7 players from Idaho there. And I do think that, now we can install that to recruits as a positive. We're developing these guys. We're taking guys who didn't have those opportunities coming out of high school, and we've got them a lot better, have improved them through our program, and now we've created value for them to move up. I do think we're going to probably have stability for about the next 5 or 6 years, and then I think as you get into the 2030s, I think there's probably going to be another shakeup, because the CFP contract will be up and some of the TV deals are up. So I think we have a great athletic director who came from the University of Texas, Fernando Lobo, and I think he has a great vision, and I think he realizes it's really important for us to position ourselves in a good, in a good position over these next, 5 or 6 years. So when that next movement happens, we're in a good place to be in a good spot.
All right, Jason Eck joining Wilde and Tauschen. He is so generous with his time, thanking again, that he's going to join us for another segment. And this segment, Jason, here's what it's a little homework for you, because we used to play a lot of basketball at the Shell. I need your favorite Shell that no longer exists. I'm going to need your favorite Shell moment. I'm going to need your favorite Brad Childress quote. And you have to start thinking about Wisconsin football players, Mount Rushmore. Who are your four players? No coaches or administrators allowed. That's going to be your homework in the next 3 minutes. And we will, Coach Eck will join us next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Wilde and Tausch back with you, Jesse and Tausch. We are joined by a Jason, not the Jason Wilde, but head coach Jason Eck, Tausch's old teammate at the University of Wisconsin and the head coach of the New Mexico Lobos football team. Tausch gave Jason Eck some homework during the commercial break. We'll get to that in a second. But Coach Eck, I did want to ask you this first before we get to the homework assignment. Wisconsin and New Mexico did play on September 8th, 2018. That's the only meeting between the two teams all time. Have you talked to anybody about trying to put something back on the schedule against your alma mater yet?
No, I'd rather avoid those guys. You know, that's a tough place to play at the Camp Randall. I have a lot of our boosters and alumni will mention that game to me, you know, talk about how they traveled to that game, and that was one of their, you know, favorite games they've ever traveled to on the road. You know, we go out, you know, this year we play two Big Ten teams this year, traditional one in Michigan and then UCLA. But you know, we're recruiting mostly out west, so probably want to try to keep most of our, you know, non-conference Power Four games out west.
Bummer. I kind of wanted you guys to come in here and play. That'd be pretty fun. But you do have the big primetime stage against Michigan to open up the season. That'll be a big opportunity for you and the program to really make a big statement to begin the season, right?
Yeah, we're excited for that. That's going to be a great opportunity to go play in the big house. You know, they're coming off two big wins. You know, they beat Ohio State their last regular season game, and then what, I think they beat Alabama in the bowl game. So, you know, they should be feeling pretty good about themselves coming into playing the Lobos the first game. And, you know, it's kind of the annual tradition of September. I think Coach Moore has to have some games where he's suspended for, but I noticed he didn't take the suspension for our game. So I think they're taking us seriously.
Oh, that's outstanding. All right, Jason, I gave you some homework because I knew you as a student. You were a student athlete, whether it was your love of was Portuguese your best subject, or was it geology 120? What would you say is your best subject back at Wisconsin?
I was very good in Portuguese, but psychology, it was my undergrad major, my undergrad degree, so I think I was very good in that. Political science, I was good in all the P majors, all the P subjects.
That is very true. All right,
academic,
so
I was academic all Big Ten time.
I do remember that. I think you made sure everybody that ever met you knew that. So your first little line, the Shell closed. I sent you a picture when it was getting broken down, and we had a lot of great games over there. Jason, what's your favorite Shell memory? I'm assuming it was an elbow jump shot.
It's exactly that. I had a little elbow jump shot against you to win the game where I kind of pushed off. I had to create a little space. You had that great vertical, so I was always very cautious of your shot blocking. But I kind of bodied you up, kind of a little chicken wing push off, step back to nail a game winner. I think 11-9, I think, was the final score of that game.
Yeah, it was I don't a have tough the loss for me. A big upset in that one. Okay, we have a list of our favorite Brad Childress quotes, and you know he was the offensive coordinator while we were at Wisconsin. Any stick out to you, and do you use any of your Chiliisms in any of your coach speak when you're talking to your team?
I kind of feel like, you know, Chili was such a classic and unique guy, you know, so many great stories about him, but I almost feel like they're trademarked. Like I can't bite his lines and take his, but the one that always sticks out to me is when he was talking, I can't remember if this was going to the kickoff classic in New York, but you know, when I think he thought we weren't serious enough, and he said, "Not everything's funny." Now, a clown, that's funny, but not everything's funny. And I remember like just holding back and trying not to crack up because I thought that was a very ridiculous and funny statement. So that one really sticks out. Not everything's funny.
Yeah.
Now, a clown, that's funny.
My favorite still to this day is where, I don't know, we were flopping around or whatever, and Brad Childress got up and said, "Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, the game room's closed." Back at the Holy Name Seminary when he shut the game room down because we had not taken good enough care of the game room. So that is my favorite chilly memory. What was the third question that I posed?
The Mount Rushmore.
All time, the Mount Rushmore players in the Wisconsin, in the history of Wisconsin football. Jason knows this history about as well as anybody. Who do you got?
But my first three were pretty easy. You know, you got to go with the Heisman Trophy winners. You know, you got to go with Amici. You got to go with our former teammate Ron Dane. You know, the highest award you can get as a college player. And then, you know, I'm probably biased towards offensive linemen, so I'm going to throw Joe Thomas in there, who I think is, in my opinion, the greatest Badger O-lineman ever. And then the fourth spot gives me a lot of pause. You know, Mike Webster was a great, player. Troy Vincent. We've had some other great running backs, Al Toon. But I probably would have to throw J.J. Watt in there as the fourth one.
Okay.
I'd be curious of yours.
I have Joe Thomas. I'm more prisoner of the moment than you. I have Jonathan Taylor and Ron. I think because of the way this school has put out running backs and what we've seen and how important the running game has been forever, I've never seen a running back like Jonathan Taylor. He's that good. Melvin Gordon is right there, but I can't put three running backs on there. And then I've struggled with my fourth because J.J. Watt obviously deserves to be in that conversation, but he played two seasons. And I'm always looking for 3 to 4 years. But as we sit here right now, I don't know any other defenders that have had a bigger impact than J.J. Watt did. So I think I have to go Joe, J.J., Ron, and JT23. That's my list.
I've always had just a greater appreciation of history than you going back there. You're very modern with your list.
Well, I would go Pat Richter. If I'm going old school, Pat Richter's getting my vote.
And really, I think if you went big picture and included post-playing accomplishments too, obviously Pat Richter hiring Barry Alvarez was a seminal moment in Wisconsin history, along with President Shalala. That was a huge moment in Wisconsin history.
Got to remember Shalala. There's no doubt President Shalala. All right, Jason, what is, because we always would, we wouldn't laugh, but with Coach Alvarez, we kind of knew he had 4 or 5 speeches in his armor that he would always go to pregame. How do you kind of come to your messaging with your teams? Is it, do you have a consistent message, or do you always kind of determine who you're playing as far as how you message to your team on the week of a game?
I try to be, consistent in my approach, but every game is different. So I think you do have to have different things, and that's something that I thought, I appreciated with Coach Alvarez. When we were playing a team that we were a lot more talented or better than, we're playing, Ohio U or something when we're at Wisconsin. He never was like trying to scare us about how good Ohio U was. I mean, he was honest about it and said, "Hey, we're a better program. We're a better team. We got to go, show it and prepare the right way." So we show that on Saturday. So I have probably used a few of Coach Alvarez's lines. I have been known to drop an abuse leads to restriction occasionally, which is always one
That's
of the ones that Coach Alvarez sticks out with me.
What did you say to the Vandals last year when you got ready to go play in Oregon? Because you gave them a heck of a scare in week one
had
last
on the ropes.
Year. What was the speech there?
Well, I think when you have games like that where you're a huge underdog, and we were, I think we were like a 45-point underdog or something. I mean, they were number one in the country at the time. It really was all week. It wasn't just like one pregame speech, but I thought, you know, really all week with how we talked to the players, you know, our coaches' body language with the players, you know, we had to really build confidence. And, you know, obviously we did not win that game, but I think we really went into that believing, you know, we could win the game and play their ass off, you know, had it to a, you know, cut it to a 3-point game in the fourth quarter and, you know, definitely competed well. And, you know, those will be challenges again, you know, playing teams like Michigan and UCLA. But, you know, getting our team to believe, I think, has been, you know, it's something I probably took from Coach Alvarez. I think he was a great, did a great job of getting our team to always believe.
Coach,
no doubt about that.
Last question for me before Tausch wraps up with you here, because I wanted to ask you this before you go. With the way that college football has changed, and we talk about, you know, you coming in and taking over at New Mexico, we've certainly heard it from fans here about Luke Fickell at Wisconsin not seeing the results that we would have hoped yet that we've seen here through the first two seasons of his tenure. Do you feel extra pressure to win faster than ever before instead of having like 4 years to build a program and bring your recruits? Do you feel like it's different now that the expectations are set where it's almost like immediately alumni and the fan base want to see that instant success?
Well, I think certainly now, and really this is just probably like more of a, you know, Tausch knows how to study society. It's more of a society thing across all areas of our life. I think it's a much more instant gratification society than it was 20 years ago. But certainly I think you got to show progress very, very early. And, you know, not to say you have to necessarily win a conference title your first year, but I think it's tough if you don't build momentum right away and, you know, show some positivity. It's tough. But on the flip side, I do think it's a lot easier to flip programs now than it used to be because there's no limit on signees. You know, when Tausch and I were in college, I think they had a limit where you could only bring in 25 new scholarship players a year. That was before the portal where players were eligible right away if they transferred. So I do think it is set up where you can flip your roster. You can do what Coach did at Indiana last year. His name's escaping me, but he did a great job coming from James Madison and was able to have one of the best years in school history in Indiana in his first year. So I do think there is probably more pressure to win right away and show some results, but I do think the way college football is set up, it is easier to do it than it was probably, you know, 10, 20 years ago.
All right, Jason, before you go, can you just tell us a little bit about how important the University of Wisconsin, you mentioned, and we very clearly the impact that Coach Alvarez had on you, but I guess your favorite memory of being here, and what's the biggest lesson you kind of have learned from the University of Wisconsin in all of your coaching travails throughout your life?
Yeah, you know, being in Madison and being at the University of Wisconsin really just had a huge factor, you know, in my life from, you know, the great coaches, you know, not just Coach Alvarez, but, you know, Coach Huber, our offensive line coach, who had a big impact on me as a player and as a coach, you know, the great you know, lifelong friends and connections you meet from you, you know, Matt Davenport, you know, Eric Weiss, and then Mike Schneck, some of the guys that I lived with and played with during that era. Of course, you know, Chris McIntosh now doing a great job as the AD. You know, really, I didn't really know anything about college football. You know, when I went into the University of Wisconsin as a, I think when I first reported, I was still 17, a 17-year-old freshman, and really, that gave me a baseline of everything. You know, I met my wife there. My wife's from right outside Madison in McFarland. So, you know, truly coming to Wisconsin was one of the better decisions of my life, and it's had a huge, you know, impact on me. And, you know, I guess that I did. I kind of stole Coach Alvarez's line about a sleeping giant when I got to Idaho. I didn't want to be redundant when I got to New Mexico and use the same line, but I kind of see the same opportunity there of, you know, seeing value in something before it had value and then build it up.
What did you replace giant with then? Because you are a wordsmith. Sleep? Did you use something besides giant when you were referencing that?
Well, I said I saw opportunity in the Southwest. I saw opportunity for what we can create here and what we can build, and you know, just so many great lessons, and love Madison, loved times, whether it was just hanging out with teammates and Camp Randall or celebrating a big win or hanging out on the terrace on a summer afternoon like today. Had such a great experience during, I was there 7 years, really seven football seasons between my years as a player and a graduate assistant.
But you learned the most from teamwork when we had the sexiest 300-pound bartending crew in the history of – I don't even want to put Madison in it. I think we could
world.
Put in the entire U.S. between me, you, and YZ running that place on a Monday. Was there – did you – is that where you learned all of your ideas on how to get a team to work together?
Probably a lot of the things I learned there are good because I can watch our players if they're exhibiting those behaviors and try to address it. And you obviously were able to overcome it and still become a pretty good player. But my son plays for us now and he's become a good player. He was first team All Big Sky last year as a sophomore, and I think he's learned to stay out of the shenanigans that I had in college. And I think that's helped him reach his full potential. So. But we had a lot of fun at Wando's. I appreciated Jay for giving us a chance and probably foolishly giving us a chance to run that bar.
It was definitely foolish. Hey, Coach, how tough was it to talk your kid into entering the transfer portal and coming with you? Was that a hard recruiting pitch?
Yeah, it was a hard pitch. Now, here's a good little story here, Tosh. So I get offered the job. You know, we're playing in the playoffs. You know, we got a Friday night game. So New Mexico comes up and interviews me at my house in Idaho on Wednesday night before our Friday night game. So they interview me. Then on the next day, on Thursday, I get offered the job, and they want me to sign the contract. You know, they're like, all right, let's go. We're offering you. We want you to sign it before the game. You know, you can tell the team on Saturday after. And with my son Jackson playing for us, I just didn't feel good about signing it without talking to him. And I didn't want to talk to him about it the night before the game. So I told the AD, hey, I want to get through this game, and I'll talk to my son right after the game, and then we'll get this signed. And then we play Montana State. You know, it's like 10-10 in the second quarter. I make a foolish decision, try to go for a surprise onside kick that doesn't work, and the game kind of spirals on us. So we're sitting there in the third quarter, and we're down by like 30. And I start thinking to myself, you know, I have this DocuSign contract to sign, and when I go back in my in the locker room after the game and get my phone, I bet that contract's not there anymore. I don't think I'm going to be able to sign it. But I appreciate them believing in me and keeping that contract there. So I ended up taking a job late that night, talked to my son, and, he was the only guy really probably actively recruited and said, hey, we want you to come with us. And then, he took calls when he went in the portal for a day and, had some offers. You know, NC State, Coach Doran offered him a scholarship. Michigan State offered him a scholarship. Stanford offered him a scholarship. But he's pretty smart because I think he realized if he would have went to one of those places, his mom, my wife, would have killed him. So I think he made the right decision to follow us down here and play for us here.
Well, there you have it. Jason Eck. Best of luck in your upcoming season, and thanks for taking a little time on a 4th of July weekend to join us. Appreciate you,
buddy. Good luck, Coach.
Hey, appreciate you, fellas. Lobo up. Enjoy the weekend. Take care.
Lobo up. Lobo indeed. Up. Lobo up, and we have Jason Eck joining us. Jason Wilde selling stuff. He's got 4th of July sales. So does Steinhoffel's 4th of July sale. The savings, they are sizzling. Right now, save 10% store-wide on furniture for every room. Plus, get hot door busters like a Sealy mattress, any size for just $1.99, and it gets even better. Take an extra $100 off every $999 you spend. Steinhoffel's is Wisconsin's furniture and mattress leader, and it's been trusted for over 90 years. Shop in store or online at steinhoffels.com. Don't miss it, only at Steinhoffel's.
Thanks again to Jason Eck, the head coach of the New Mexico Lobos football program and Wisconsin alum and Tausch's former teammate, for joining us here on the show. We'll talk about his list of the Mount Rushmore of Wisconsin Badgers football players. I would like to share my list with you. It's a little different than what you guys have said, and we will review those coming up next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Special thanks again to New Mexico football head coach Jason Eck, Wisconsin alum, Tausch's old teammate at the University of Wisconsin, for joining us here on Wildy and Tausch. Jesse and Tausch today. Jason has the day off. He was back on Saturday afternoon at Summerfest at noon on ESPN Wisconsin, the State of the Packers show. Jason Wildy, Gabe Neitzel, Alex Stroph. You do not want to miss it. Noon Saturday. If you do miss it because it is 4th of July weekend, that's okay. The ESPN Wisconsin app downloaded, the Green and Gold Fix podcast. That's where you'll be able to find that show, and you will want to hear what those guys say. The big picture overview heading into the 2025 season, with training camp just a few weeks away, counting down to kickoff of the 2025 season, the State of the Packers show. Tausch, before we get to the Mount Rushmore, there is some drama going on in the YouTube dwellers comments section. On our YouTube stream.
I wasn't sure if you were going to, if this is what I think it is.
So, and I like this, but I think it's causing some consternation among the dwellers. YouTube appears to now be ranking our fans in the comments.
Oh, boy.
So there's,
based on activity.
So based on activity in the comments, there's a little like crown icon, and it says number one, number two, number three. So right now, Michael Klink, the Klinkster, is ranked number one in the comments because he's just they realized this algorithm is going on, and he just started commenting a bunch. And apparently, it's a quantity over quality type approach for YouTube in the comments. So the Klinkster is ranked number one in the comments, followed by Jane at number two and Jim at number three, rounding out your top three fans in the ESPN Madison YouTube stream. And I'm sure Milwaukee's stream has its own rankings going on over there, which is also going to be an adventure. So just so you know, there's a little drama in the YouTube comments for those who are consuming the show on our YouTube stream today. Just wanted to make you aware of that, and in case that's a thing into next week when I'm gone, just wanted to make sure you knew that and were aware of that, because I know you support the dwellers in their activity.
Definitely love our YouTubers, no doubt.
We do, mostly, when they're nice. So your Mount Rushmore of Wisconsin Badgers football players, if I wrote this down correctly, is John.
I am not. I did not send you because things were fluid. I did not give you my final. I am ready to give my final as we sit here right now.
Okay, so you are now prepared. I will remind everyone then what Jason Eck just said his Mount Rushmore is. He has Alan Ameche, Ron Dayne, Joe Thomas, and J.J. Watt. Jason Eck, Wisconsin football alum, the head coach at New Mexico. That is his Mount Rushmore of Wisconsin Badgers football players. Tausch.
Yep, and I think it's a good list. I think his list is strong. He went Alan Ameche. He wants to show off how smart he is and how, you know, much history he has. And I get that. I think we all like hearing how smart we are. So I understand where Jason is coming from on that. My list is similar. We have some crossover, but it's a little bit different. And I struggled with the four slot on this. The Joe Thomas was easy. Ron Dayne was easy. And Jonathan Taylor, JT23, was very easy for me. Even though Melvin Gordon, I think Melvin Gordon is awesome and was phenomenal at his time at the UW. I think JT23 even went another notch because he was kind of a solo soldier, man. He had to do it all, whereas Melvin had some help, I thought, earlier in his career. So those are my three. And then I struggled because I want to find a defensive guy that I felt, you know, whether it was Troy Vincent, TJ Watt, we've had a great list of linebackers for a lot of years at the University of Wisconsin. But when I factor in everything, Pat Richter is my fourth. Pat Richter is my fourth on the list. So
and
that's where I'm going.
That was the one that you were on the fence the most about. So you had mentioned J.J. Watt earlier. You had mentioned some of the others.
Did.
And you are locking in the great, the legend, Pat Richter as your fourth on the
correct
Wisconsin Badgers players, Mount Rushmore.
Yep, that is correct.
Love Pat Richter. Got to know him on the Pat Richter show here on ESPN Madison for a long time. He is not on my Mount Rushmore. But similarly, and so the theme here, and I, Jason Wilde shared his list kind of the other day. He had like eight names he wanted to, you know, we went down that road for a moment. So there's three that are very similar. Well, there's two that are for sure locks. Ron Dayne and Joe Thomas. Coach Eck had it. Yep. You have them. I have them. I think everybody that is a fan of Wisconsin football would say Ron Dayne winning a Heisman Trophy and multiple Rose Bowls and Joe Thomas being the high draft pick and having the legendary pro career that he had and setting the standard for Wisconsin offensive linemen as high as it can possibly be. Those two are 1-2 on Mount Rushmore. We are all in agreement there.
Okay.
I have players that not only were successful in their careers at Wisconsin, but players who also meant a lot for building the brand of the program nationally. So that's my standard. It's not just about being successful and having good numbers and good records at Wisconsin. It's about what you've done for the program and its awareness on the national level. And for that reason, in addition to Ron Dayne and Joe Thomas, the two names I have on the list are J.J. Watt.
Okay.
And this one you're going to have some consternation about.
All right.
I have Russell Wilson on the list. One season of quarterback play from Russell Wilson at Wisconsin. That was, even though they lost the two games on a couple of Hail Marys in the regular season back-to-back weeks, the best Wisconsin football team that was capable of winning a national championship that I think I have ever seen. And Russell Wilson transformed the program in one season as quarterback. And we can say, I know your guy Brooks Bollinger, who joined us a few weeks ago, we love Brooks Bollinger. We love some of the other quarterbacks who have come through the University of Wisconsin and have been successful here. Russell Wilson was different when he was here. And he was iconic in that one season. He changed the game for what our expectations are for quarterback play at the University of Wisconsin, and he's continued to do it for more than a decade in the NFL. Russell Wilson is on my Mount Rushmore of Wisconsin football players. At the most important position in football, he is the best that Wisconsin has ever had at that position.
All right, what did he transform? What changed?
The concept of game manager quarterbacks at Wisconsin and the primary responsibility being snapping the ball and handing it to a running back and turning the Wisconsin offense into a dynamic, multiple run options, good thrower of the ball down the field, creating more emphasis on the passing game and wide receivers. It just elevated the offense to look totally different than it ever did before he was here.
Yeah, I just fundamentally disagree on that.
Okay.
The problem is
Russell
that
Wilson,
they didn't get a quarterback then after Russell Wilson. That
I don't know what he transformed. What transformed?
Yeah. I'm not saying, okay, maybe transformative.
You said it transformed? You said he transformed the whole operation.
Not that he transformed the Wisconsin football program.
It.
No, transforming the expectations from the fan base of what you expect from the quarterback at the University
That's
of Wisconsin.
Not what you said.
We've been chasing for 15 years trying to find another Russell Wilson to become a great quarterback
at
Wisconsin.
Didn't Danny O'Neill come in? No offense, didn't Danny O'Neill come in as the next transformative guy, and then he didn't even play?
Well, I mean, there have been...
Am I mistaken something?
There have been several guys that were supposed to be the next coming
Danny
of Russell
O'Neill
Wilson.
Danny O'Neill is the backup quarterback currently.
And... Yeah,
there was an O'Neill.
Yeah, there was an
O
something.
An O'Brien. Danny O'Brien came
in
shortly.
Danny O'Brien.
Yeah.
Boy, that was so transformative. We don't even know his name. No offense to Danny.
But that's my point is Graham Mertz and Jack Cohn and all these other quarterbacks that have come since Russell Wilson, we've said, can we get them to the level that Russell Wilson was for that 2011 season? Russell Wilson is the standard that we as Wisconsin football fans want a quarterback to play at. At Wisconsin. And
he's not on the
We haven't had one of those
he's
since.
Just not.
I think
I don't even think you can you can't make you can't even make a good argument to put Russell ahead of Brooks Bollinger.
Well, I
can't.
Yes, Russell
or
Wilson
or Daryl Bevel. You can't.
Russell Wilson in the
you
one
can,
season that he was at
wrong.
Wisconsin put up amazing numbers and made the team look differently
on the field. How many games did we lose
before?
With Russell? Listen, Russell Wilson, again, I don't want to mix this up. I know he snubbed me, and I know we have fun with that. Russell Wilson was a great quarterback at Wisconsin. He was, talent-wise, the best we've had. No doubt about it. He was here 6 months. That factors into it. And the big games, we didn't win. We didn't win the big games with him here, period. So for all the transformation, it didn't even get a Rose Bowl win. It was a hell of a game, and it was fun to watch. We didn't win. We didn't beat Michigan State. We didn't win. I think, well, who's the other team? Ohio State?
Ohio State, Michigan State, and Oregon were the three losses that season.
I think there was a fourth loss in there, too. I don't think it was just three.
Nah, it was those three.
So, yeah, it was those three that got revenge on Kirk Cousins and Michigan State in the Big Ten title game.
They won the inaugural Big Ten championship football game.
We all romanticize things, and Russell Wilson did a great job. He was everything you could have hoped for as a transfer coming in, leading the team, and he did a lot of really good things. But let's not put him into Tom. Like, you're going to put him on a Mount Rushmore? He's here for 6 months? No. No. No.
844-770-3776, the Carbliss ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line. Liz is more, already seeing some reactions coming through. We'll get to some of those. And if you comment in the YouTube comments, you might get ranked in the top three as one of our top fans in the YouTube comments, thanks to a new thing that YouTube's doing. So you can share your thoughts there as well. Again, 844-770-3776, the Carbliss ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line. If Bucky, that cute rascal, could be one of the four, I would put him on Mount Rushmore ahead of Russell Wilson, Tausch. But I know we will find him at UW Credit Union.
He's been here longer than 6 months, I can tell you that. He's been here for over 90 years. UW Credit Union has been for over 90 years. And for every stage of your life, UW Credit Union is here for every you. And for me, took me a while, but, man, I joined up with UW Credit Union. I love the fact their banking is local. They have great member-first service and unbelievable perks like early payday. And Jesse mentioned it, Bucky. They're out in the community. They're doing all kinds of great things. And if you love Wisconsin like I do, you can't pay with anything else. Fandom makes us do crazy things, but this makes sense. Become a UW Credit Union member today. Get your Bucky card like I did. Federally insured by NCUA. Terms and conditions do apply.
We'll get to your texts and your responses for our Wisconsin football players' Mount Rushmore. That's straight ahead. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Mr. Unlimited.
We're on the Bucks.
This was an investment by their general manager, John Horst, in being able to sell Giannis Antetokounmpo, that there is an opportunity to compete in Milwaukee this year and into the foreseeable future.
100.5 ESPN, Madison's home of the Bucks.
Sit down together and laugh with each other about these days, all our troubles, we'll lay to rest and we'll wish we could come back to these days,
No way, Jesse, dumbest thing I ever heard. 608 on the Carbliss ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line. Wilde and Tausch, Jesse and Tausch. Jason is on assignment today. He'll be back for the State of the Packers show on Saturday afternoon at Summerfest at noon on ESPN Wisconsin. The question is out for your reactions. Jason Eck, head coach of New Mexico football, former Wisconsin Badgers football player and teammate of Mark Tauscher, along with Tausch and I have shared our Mount Rushmores of Wisconsin Badgers football players as we get set for the 4th of July weekend. There is no doubt Russell Wilson is the biggest point of consternation from any of our lists. No.
Yeah, I think you did this. You tried to pull a Chris Haynes, and this was you being clicky.
Chris Haynes?
This is you being... Yeah, he's being clickbaity with Dame and with the Bucks, and, oh, Giannis ain't doing this, and, oh, blah, blah, blah. No, they didn't tell... they didn't let him go blah. Russell Wilson, great player at Wisconsin. Really good player. A borderline Hall of Fame quarterback. I'm sure some people think he's a lock stocker. I don't. He's a good player. He had a nice season here at Wisconsin. Really nice season. Not a Mount Rushmore guy. Come on.
So are you just saying that no matter how good the player is, because in today's college football, it is very possible that a player could come in for 1 year and lead Wisconsin to win a national title at some point, no matter what, if you only play 1 year.
Did they win a national championship with Russ? Because if they did, he's a Mount Rushmore guy.
They didn't.
But he didn't.
But I'm asking you, if a player comes in for a one-year player can be on the Mount Rushmore of Wisconsin football.
But you better be Cam Newton at Auburn if you're going to do it. Because longevity still matters, and unless it is the greatest 6 months of your blanking life, you ain't getting it. Not in my book. And it doesn't mean I'm right, but it certainly it's my opinion. And yes, you can. Cam Newton would be on the Mount Rushmore of Auburn. I feel very confident about that. I don't know any of their other players. But he led him to a national championship.
Bo Jackson.
Bo Jackson. I think we get so caught up because we're starved for good quarterback play for all those years, and we got a little taste of manna. We got a taste, but we didn't get to the whatever. We didn't get to the mountaintop. We didn't. And we feel like we should have and we could have, but we didn't.
We were close.
So, no, we weren't close. You're talking about three losses.
They were two.
Wasn't close.
They were two plays away from likely playing in the national championship game that year. That team was loaded with NFL talent. No, they didn't play in the national championship. You know they didn't play in the national championship, but they went to.
Why'd you say they did then?
Because they were two Hail Marys away from playing in a national championship game. They would have been undefeated 13-0 going to the national title game in the Russell Wilson year. Had two strange oddities in the month of, I think it was
if
October,
is a big
gone
word.
Wrong for them.
If is a big word.
Russ on Mount Rushmore is like putting CC Sabathia on the Brewers' Mount Rushmore, says Nick in Madison. He was great, but didn't
CC
accomplish
led us
enough.
To the playoffs. CC led us to the playoffs. Russ got us, and again, Russell Wilson was really good that season. Like, great. But we lost the Rose Bowl game.
What's your standard that a one-year player would have to be considered for the Mount Rushmore? Winning the Heisman Trophy or team success? Which is more important in the metrics? If a transfer quarterback comes in and wins the Heisman Trophy and Wisconsin loses in the second round of the college football playoff, can that quarterback be on the Mount Rushmore?
If Ron Dayne came from Toledo and helped us win a Big Ten and won a Heisman Trophy, but then that was it? And we didn't even make the college. We made the college football playoff, but got knocked out in the first round. I'm not putting him on the Mount Rushmore. So you got to win it, and you got to be a huge reason why. And typically, that means quarterback. Now, if Ron Dayne comes from Akron and he takes us to the national championship, wins the Heisman, sets all these records, and we win the national championship, Mount Rushmore him.
The other day you were getting after Jason when he made a joke about adding a fifth face onto Mount Rushmore. Adam in Glendale, Arizona, maybe our Mount Rushmore should be only three heads instead of four. We should remove one instead of adding one. Because I do think we're all in line on three. On Joe Thomas, Ron Dayne, and then you didn't have J.J. Watt, but I feel like you wouldn't. He was in the mix for your list.
He's right there. Yeah, I'm not. I don't have any qualms if you want to put JJ on there. I think he would probably have been fifth on my list. That's where I would have put him.
And Jason Eck and I both did have JJ Watt on our list. So if we had those three on Mount Rushmore, those feel like a really good three. And then the fourth
get on board
is where
with that.
The debate comes from. No debate that if you are ever injured in an accident, there is only one call you need to make, and that's to Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Jason Wilde would say that he hopes you never have to make that call, but if you do, Wisconsin's own Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. Proudly serving Wisconsin for over 30 years and a proud partner of Wilde and Tausch. We thank David Gruber for everything he's meant for our show and for ESPN Wisconsin, and we will continue to share with you one call, that's all. Gruber Law Offices, proud partner of Wilde and Tausch. The 11 o'clock hour. Man, where did our time management go? This is ridiculous. We still got to play another round of trivia. And there is a list at ESPN.com. Is Mark Tauscher on it? The greatest draft pick at each overall position all time. We will talk about that in 2 minutes. Don't go anywhere. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.